Blog Talk Radio
presents a Blog Radio Show.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show, and I'm Joanne Barton, and it's been a long time since we rock and rolled. I don't even know the last time we were on the air. We've been covering some concerts and getting some things done, and anyway, yeah, when was the last time we were on the air, by the way? It was, oh my goodness. It's been a while, my friends. We've been covering concerts for fun and so that you guys can get to see what you didn't get to see through me. So that's pretty cool. I enjoy doing that for you. But tonight, we not only have a celebrity in the house, we have celebrity royalty in the house. I am so proud, thrilled, and honored to welcome tonight to the show, Kathryn Kramer. She is, I don't know where she finds the time to do it. She's an actress, producer, activist, a journalist, a singer, and now a comedian. I couldn't believe when I saw that in the bio. So without further ado, let's welcome to the show Kathryn Kramer. Hi, Kathryn. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so happy to be here.
Great. Thanks. I'm so glad we could make it happen. So I
thank you so much for that great buildup too. I should hire you as my press agent.
Are you kidding me? You don't have to hire anybody. You are a walking resume. My goodness. How do you find the time to do all this?
I don't know. I don't sleep much.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know what the heck is wrong with that. But I was mentioning earlier, for those of you who don't know, Kathryn is also the daughter of the talented visionary Stanley Kramer, director, producer of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, The Defiant Ones, High Noon, The Cane, all the great classic movies. One of my favorites actually is It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Of course, all of them are, but I love It's a Mad, Mad World, and I think everybody does. And, of course, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And, of course, your mom is actress Karen Sharp, and she's been in many movies herself. So, my goodness, you are
truly... over 200 television shows, and... And then, of course, there's my godmother, Katharine Hepburn, or Auntie Kate. I actually have a character, Auntie Kate, in my solo show.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's like an alter ego of her.
Yeah,
and
she
always told me, because I spell my name just like her, like she did, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E.
Right.
And she always said, you will forever be telling them, spell it with an A. So I have a song called Kathryn with an A, which is all about...
You do a great impression.
thank you. Well, I feel when I'm doing that I can almost say anything I want.
Well,
filter.
Right,
so
right.
So I do
and
that in
guys,
my comedy also.
Yeah, if you guys didn't catch on, Kathryn is the goddaughter of the late, great Kathryn Hepburn. And so, I mean, my God, you are truly blessed. Like head to toe with your family life, your background, and your sister is who's her godmother, Kathy Strickland.
Sally Kirkland, right?
Sally Kirkland, thank you. I couldn't get the name out. Yeah, and your sister. So I mean, your family just comes from celebrity royalty and Hollywood royalty, I should say. But now tell us, you started. I'm very intrigued. intrigued and interested about your Kat Kramer films that changed the world. It feels like you're like following your dad's footsteps to some degree.
In my own small way, I would never profess to be like him. I mean, that those are huge, giant shoes to fill.
Of course.
As a female, artist and performer and someone who advocates for women's empowerment and produces, mm-hmm. Social justice content, I'm kind of reimagining what he did, but in my own way and from the female point of view. I started that in 2009, Kat Kramer Films That Changed the World. It sort of started itself. I mean, we have the, at the time, it's actually still there, but it's under a totally different regime. But we have the Stanley Kramer Theater, which is a screening room at Sunset Gower Studios in Hollywood.
Nice.
And Sunset Gower was the former home of Columbia Pictures. That was the original studio, which is now Sony Columbia, but that's in Culver City. So Sunset Gower and Sunset Bronson used to be Columbia when my father had his offices there. Mm-hmm. And so we have a screening room named after him, and we had like a – a ceremony for that. And then I started programming different FYCs in a way for your consideration for a great actor named Glenn Turman for a show he was on HBO called In Treatment. And he was up for best guest actor in a drama series for the Primetime Emmys. And so we showed that, and then he won the Emmy, and so I figured, wow, this is it kind of planted a seed. I'd like to program, films here and kind of have my own screening series.
So
it started there in the Stanley Kramer Theater for only it only had 91 seats, and I outgrew it, and it's kind of grown into its own entity. I just had the 11th installment last October. We kind of outgrew Sunset Gower Studios because they don't have a main theater there, and so I was using sound stages, which was great, but it's during the pandemic you couldn't really do any of that, and I had to halt everything in person. I tried to bring it online, but I really like doing it in person.
Right.
And also having it live streamed, so it's like a hybrid experience.
Yeah.
But I've had so many major, celebrity activists and supporters since I started it, and I've had so many different issues that we've explored through the films.
Right.
Making call to action, even The Cove was one of them, and it won the Academy Award for Best Documentary
Feature.
This is the getting to be like the 10th anniversary of that film. So
that needs to be rebooted right about now, I think.
Well, I've been trying to get it in all the schools, and there's been so much pushback. But now I wanted to do like a sequel to it. I want to make a sequel, a documentary. And where we're at now with the LGBTQ issues and school violence and bullying in the schools and also in the workplace. So, and that's the one, Lily Tomlin. She was already involved with my Kat Kramer's film That Changed the World as an ambassador anyway. But when she told me she narrated that film, she had just finished narrating it, and I said, I have to bring this to Kat Kramer's films That Changed the World. So we actually, that was the only one that I presented twice with her of the same movie.
Yeah.
She's been involved with, most of the films I've presented, but that one we had a special screening in Long Beach at the Art Theater in May of 2011. So it's like an anniversary. And then I brought it to Sunset Gower in October, which is actually anti-bullying month. So it was, very thematic. And she and I were on CNN talk. Before that, we teamed up on KTLA, Channel 5 News, to talk about the elephants in captivity crisis. And we both advocate for elephants and belong, that they don't belong in zoos and circuses. And that film was very eye-opening. And then we did the 5th anniversary.
Believe it or not, they stopped it. Was it because of you? Was it because of your film?
We had some effect, but they still haven't freed Billy the Elephant out of the L.A. Zoo, which is what we've been working on for over a decade. Yeah, but they did stop.
Well, wait a minute, Catherine. If they do release him, where would he go?
He would go to a sanctuary, either Paws, which is a marvelous sanctuary up in Northern California in Sacramento,
and you're involved in that too, I believe, right?
Lily asked me to reimagine. Well, my father made Blessed the Beast and Children, you know, which was in.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the first, well, it was about gun control, but it was also an early animal rights film. And he even was honored with the Genesis Award, you know, for animal rights and just for this film, which is a cult classic.
Yeah.
So I took the theme song and reimagined it. It was originally sung by the Carpenters in the early 70s.
Yeah.
I reimagined it with the children's choir, and because Lily had suggested that, and so I performed it live for her at the Circus Paws a few years ago, and also I was flown to Sacramento to perform for Pat Derby, the late Pat Derby, who passed away, and I performed it for her memorial. And then it kind of became the leading anthem for animal rights nonprofits and organizations.
Well,
yeah,
I think,
so I want to re-release it as a single.
This year, because this is the anniversary. Yeah, and I think both you and your father are definitely your father was ahead of his time with the topic.
Oh, for sure.
And you, you know, right now with the way those craziness is right now, my goodness, you could write a 50 million. Movies right now with what's going on. But yeah, it sounds like a great idea to maybe do a reboot or, like you said, a part two on the Teach Your Children, especially.
Yeah,
I really want to
because I'm also on the advisory board of the Lavender Effect, and you know, we've been talking about that, and this was during the pandemic, you know, at the height of it, so I still managed to do some things, but basically everything was you couldn't really do, well, people did manage to make full movies, but there was a lot of restrictions.
Now that we're
coming out of that, I would love to really pursue the reboot of Teach Your Children Well, but not a, it would be more like a sequel, like bringing it up to date.
Right. You'd
because it would
to,
be
yeah.
very hard to remake that. You know, it had, well, Wendy Walsh. I mean, there's so many great interviews in there and, you know, those were timely that happened right then in 2010 and before, so that was kind of very topical, and so now it would have to be brought up to date.
Right, and let me ask you this. On the docs that you have done, have you ever followed up with any of the folks that you did those movies on to see where they're at today and if they're doing well and...
Yeah, I mean, I'm launching Sheroes for Change Film Festival. I think I might have mentioned that.
Tell everybody
about
that.
And what
it
is, you know, my screening series has the theme Sheroes for Change for the past few installments because they were, you know, female filmmakers, and this is going to be female-focused documentaries and films. Not all of them are made by women, though. I mean, some... you know, are made by male filmmakers, but the subject is female-focused.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, it's female filmmakers and focusing on change and women's empowerment issues all across the board, all the issues that are important.
I love your love for women, and it's a, you know, we stick together. We have to stick together.
Absolutely.
Especially these days.
And so Shiro's, you know, and there'll be, well, I established the Hunt for Humanity Award in 2015 for the late Marsha Hunt, but she was alive, you know, when I gave her the award, and that was because she dedicated her whole life to activism and making a difference in humanitarian causes, and she was an activist. She was really one of the first ones. And she was also blacklisted, but that wasn't why I had started the award. And she wrote Marriage Equality Song. You know, there's just so many things. She was also a songwriter. I mean, there were so many things that she did. So that award will be at Shiro's for Change, and then I'm going to have a Shiro Award. And you know, there will be an award ceremony where the women are honored.
Very
so
nice.
I don't have all the details yet, but that is going to happen this year.
This year. Okay.
So, yeah.
I was going to ask you. Yeah.
It's launching
now,
this year.
Yeah, I did want to ask you, but, I mean, she's such a great comedian and probably a wonderful human being. I felt, before you started talking about all the things she was in, I was like, what is your obsession with Lily Tomlin? She's in everything. She's in everything. I love her. I love her. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, she's my role. Well, she's my performing idol, but she's also an activist, you know, so she's become the ambassador for Kat Cramer's films that changed the world.
Very nice.
And so she's very much an inspiration of Heroes for Change, and she's in quite a few of the movies that I'm showing.
Right.
And hopefully she'll be honored as one of the Heroes. We'll see what happens with that.
I don't see
because she has been a pioneer in so many ways, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, you, besides being an activist and, again, a singer, journalist, but like I said, you do it all. You do it all. Your comedy, what's up with that? I mean,
I launched that during the pandemic.
You're hysterical as Katharine Hepburn.
Thank you. Well, I did that at nobody was even really going anywhere except they were going to comedy clubs. And I've done comedy before, but never stand-up. So I've done, like, sketch comedy. I was part of a duo, and then obviously as an actress, I decided just to go for it. And I had done some stand-up a little bit a few years ago, and Lily actually cheered me on, you know. And I've given some awards to different comics, but I decided I'm just going to try this because I want to have that be in my solo show that I'm working on, the new one. I'm going to have a lot of stand-up incorporated into the story, so I just decided to do it, and I will be going back out there again with it. I'm just waiting for the right time because I just want to make sure that, you know, COVID is, I mean, it's here to stay, but I'm just waiting till it's no longer a huge issue. So I'll be squeezing that in at some point too, and it's something that I want to get booked around and definitely go to Palm Springs and eventually combine singing and stand up in one, you know, one segment or one act.
Oh, that'll be great.
They have a lot of comedy clubs down in the desert, so you know that would be great to try that too. Besides out here, and then back east, there's a lot of places. It's something I plan to do.
Yeah, I also am very, very interested to know about your Mick Jagger covers CD called Gemstones. What songs are
on there? Yes, yeah. Well, I called it Gemstone because of just it's gems from a stone, and it's basically I love the Rolling Stones. They're my favorite, and I've always felt that Mick was underrated as a songwriter on his own. And, you know, both Mick and Keith are known as the Glimmer Twins, but I was originally going to do an album of just their solo material that I could reimagine from a woman's point of view.
Yeah.
And so I did cover a couple of Keith Richards songs and then some obscure Rolling Stones songs, but because they have such a vast catalog. But Mick is really the songwriter that writes for a singer, being that he is one with a beginning, middle, and end to a song. It's a lot more structure.
Yeah.
Where Keith is a brilliant guitarist, but it's more, you know, improvised, and it's really not a song. It's more, you know, it's not really for a singer. And Mick is very underrated. And so I covered different songs. I'm still actually working on it. It was released in Europe, but I haven't officially released anything in the States. It's just that a couple of my cover versions have been on different radio shows.
Mm.
And I worked with all the musicians that have had something to do with Mick and the Stones. I mean, I wanted to be authentic, so it was like they had to have that credibility, having done something with the Stones or with Mick, to be able to play on the album.
Right.
But Party Doll is one of my favorite Mick Jagger songs. It does sort of have its own, the song itself is now considered one of his best. And, the only other known person to cover it besides me is Mary Chapin Carpenter. Mm. And I did my own version with the late Billy Preston, like right before he faded out. And that's been a while, but it was recorded it and, you know, it was played on a lot of stations. And I'm in this book called Undercover. I'm featured in there along with several others. It's about Rolling Stones cover versions that Peter Chexfield wrote.
Very cool.
And it just came out a few months ago. But I'm really honored because he did personally write me and say he loved my renditions. And he included three of my covers in his, it's like an anthology book.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but he didn't, not everybody had more than one song. And maybe they didn't do a whole album. Some of them have just, you know,
did
done one or two tracks.
Yeah.
But he included three out of the 10 songs that are on there now.
What three did he include?
He included Blinded by Love, which is a really obscure Stone song. He included Party Doll and Hang On to Me Tonight, which was one of Mick's solo songs off of Wandering Spirit. And there might be one bonus one. I don't know. I'd have to read it again. But I know the only Stone song he included was Blinded by Love. The rest are all Mick Jagger solo, yeah.
I would have loved to have heard it. You should have sent me one or two tracks. We could have played it tonight.
Oh, I wish I'd known.
Yeah, I know. I wish I'd known that you had the album out, too. I know. I'm so sorry about that.
Well,
that's,
you know, my birthday is April 4th, and that was the same date, obviously not the same year, but that was the birthday of the late, great Muddy Waters.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Stones, you know, they named the Rolling Stones after one of his songs, and they even performed with him, and he's kind of the, I don't know how you, you know, the role model for the Rolling Stones. I mean, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he's, so that's another thing that I've always been drawn to them and to him and the history and everything.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, God, I lost my train of thought. I was going, oh, my God. Your solo show, my duet with Mick.
Yes, yes.
What is that about?
That's about me wanting to sing a duet with Mick Jagger. That was my original dream when I was recording the album.
Yeah.
And so someone said you should just make a show out of that. And so I, you know, put together a solo show. But I didn't put very many Stone songs in there just because of rights issues. I had songs, just different songs that were like parodies and everything. And I actually did do one Stone song, As Tears Go By. I sang that, but the rest was other songs. But I'm reimagining and retooling that show, and hopefully it will include some of the songs I've covered.
And
because that would really make it authentic.
And you're developing your solo show, She's a Rainbow.
Yeah,
right?
And that's
going to
be, that's really the new version of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
With that song
one of my
in it.
That's one of, I love that song, by the way. One of my favorite Stone songs.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. She comes in colors everywhere. She comes in hair.
Great lyrics.
Yes. Yeah. Like you said, underrated. Definitely underrated.
They're all underrated. Yeah, I chose to do more of the obscure, you know, ones that have not even been recognized as opposed to the big, you know, standard classics. When you read the book, there are a lot of, you know, artists that have covered it, and everybody's in this book that pretty much has ever covered a Stone song. So it's quite an honor to be included.
So this book is... pardon me, Undercover, 500 Rolling Stones. So anybody who's ever, not anybody, but musicians.
Well, even
who
the
covered,
Who is in here, Sheryl Crow. Yeah, I mean, everybody
that
the author could get confirmation or listen to their music is in there, yeah.
Right. Oh, that's right.
And there's some I recorded that haven't even gone on the album yet. So, you know. But it
will. I was going to say, you must know Mick Jagger, no? Do you know him?
Well, that's
personally?
The thing. I've only met him a couple times. I don't know him that well, and I you know, almost don't want to know him because I would rather actually have him either play harmonica or sing or do something, you know, on the album. And I would love to perform my show. You're hearing this for the first time, I think, at the Mick Jagger Center in London.
Oh.
You know, there's a center in his name that's all, it's a performing arts center, and they do have shows and singing and comedy, and I would love to be able to perform at that and
have him be there,
and then I'll get to know him better. But no, I think it's almost better to keep a distance.
Yeah.
You know, because it just makes it better for the project.
Yeah, I guess. That makes it more attainably unattainable in a way.
Exactly. That's a great way
to put it. Both
it.
Ways. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. Oh, my God, I'd love to hear it. So I got to ask you now. Yeah, I've got to ask you. Now, you do everything under the sun. And it's a stupid question. I hate to ask it. What do you love the most? I know you love it all, but which one really, really keeps you the most happy doing, like the one that you really want to say, I'm doing this now?
You mean the
instead
actual...
acting. Do you prefer, do you prefer acting? Do you prefer the being behind the camera, writing, singing? I mean, the comedy.
It's hard for me to pick it. Probably.
I know.
Singing music, because I think music is the universal language.
Yeah.
And music is more of a gift, I think. Not that acting and all that isn't, but I mean, you know, you're either born with a musical talent or you're not. It's very hard to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that
exactly.
would be my favorite.
Right, right.
Yes.
And music soothes the savage beast, so, and I love it too.
It certainly does. It is the language of the universe. You know?
Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, I'm sure when Earth
down?
Is out there, if Earth was like out there on what would be the symbol for other planets, I guess music would be. Because if you had to represent Earth, in the universe, I guess music would be, that's what I would say. Yeah.
No, I would think so too. I'd have to agree. I mean, and you've won so many awards. My God.
Thank you.
You played Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker. You played Anne Frank. How was that for you?
Yeah. I played all famous girls. I love playing Anne Frank. I wish I could go to the Anne Frank house in, Holland, I haven't been, but, you know, there's a new limited series about Meep, who was Mr. Franck's secretary, and she's the one that put the family into hiding. And so there's a whole new limited series, and, of course, Anna Franck is how it was pronounced. She's portrayed in there, but it's not about Anna. It's about Meep, and it's still, though, like Anna's journey.
Yeah,
because it's the same story. It just seems through somebody else's eyes. And that's right now on Nat Geo and Hulu and Disney Plus. And it was even on Lifetime just recently, last week, I think.
Right.
So
right.
for me, playing that was incredible because it was such a learning experience, but it was also very moving. And to be able to read the diary and then portray her and... you know, have to imagine what that must have been like. It was just, there's just a lot of learning that went on. It was a big, you know, period of growth for me, and I was a kid doing it.
Yeah.
Same with Helen Keller, but I didn't really, how do I put it? I didn't have to work that hard to play Helen Keller. It's like I was just destined to do it because I knew how to portray someone who was blind, deaf, and mute, and I just, according even to the director, I just did it in front of her, and that's how I got the role. I didn't, you know, I really didn't even audition. She saw me in another play, but I came and did a session, and I was cast in the role.
Mm.
And so I do advocate for the deaf community and the visually impaired more and more, but especially the deaf community because they're very involved with the arts and even in music and in, you know, they're out there and they need representation and they need to be seen. And Troy Kotsur, who won Best Supporting Actor for CODA last year, is a good friend of mine and has even been on my panels. And I campaigned for him and for the film. And, you know, I knew it would win, but a lot of people, I just think it took everybody by surprise.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. Well,
and there's a lot of women, you know, female deaf performers, especially out here in LA, that and filmmakers and and there's even deaf musicians, and there's just so much talent.
Yeah.
And they still need to, you know, they don't get seen enough, or they're not included enough. And so I always make sure that all my screenings that I present as much as possible are open caption. And also I have ASL interpreters, and I do face a lot of, there is always backlash. I don't know why. I think back east and in New York especially, it's common, it's best practices, first of all, and it's common to include and make every screening accessible and theater. But out here, we're still catching on. So I always try to advocate for that.
Yeah. Now, do you come to New York more or less?
I do, not recently, though. I used to live in Gramercy Park for a short time, and I was, you know, out there quite a bit, but I haven't been back in a long time. And I do hope to go to the Katharine Hepburn Cultural Arts Center and the Kate. In fact, I'd love to do my show there. That would be another, you know, the Kate and the Mick Jagger Center are both the same entity, actually. I mean, they're different, but, you know, they're both performing arts centers named after their founders.
Right. I can't see why they wouldn't want you to be there at either one. I mean, for both. I mean, it's just apropos.
Yeah, I definitely would like to make that a goal, and by next year for sure.
Right. Wow.
Maybe even before that, but.
Well, speaking of Katharine Hepburn again, I mean, you also are running the West Coast. What is it?
I'm the West Coast representative. I'm an honorary trustee, and you know, I'm trying to be involved with as many things at the Kate, even virtually, until I can be there in person.
And that's the Katharine Hepburn, Cultural Arts Center.
Yes.
Yeah, and where is that
located?
They even
have the Spirit of Katharine in Old Saybrook, Connecticut.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was in the West Coast.
It's right there, because that's where she lived. And I'm in a new documentary called Call Me Kate.
Mm-hmm.
By Salon Pictures, and that's, you know,
when
kind of
that
a...
When is that coming out?
Well, I don't know the release date, but I did promise Lorna Tucker, who's the director, that I would present it for Shiro's for Change. So, you know, not only was Katharine Hepburn a major feminist icon and Shiro, you know, but the film is all about her being a woman ahead of her time and empowered and, you know, looking at her career and her life in the context of today. And so I'm also in the documentary, so it makes sense that I would, you know, be presenting it.
Of course. I mean, it just makes sense, obviously. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even like playing both of those venues just makes sense for what you're doing.
Yeah,
and to be at those venues, you know. So I don't see why you would have a problem, but I don't think you have a problem either doing anything you do. I mean, all the work you do, you have the greatest people helping you with that. Well, I shouldn't say helping you, you know, assisting in joining you. I mean, great actors are helping you. I keep saying helping, pardon me.
Yeah.
Assisting you, like Lily Tomlin.
Yes, Lily is,
Martin
the whole
Sheen
reason I even,
you've worked with.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, you know. And Jane Fonda, and you love that show, Frankie and
Grace and Frankie.
There?
Yeah,
thank
I know.
You.
And
thank
sadly,
you.
It ended, but you know, there's still you can still see it on Netflix.
Yeah,
I'm always hoping that they'll do like a reboot or something. And I would love to be on it. That would be a dream too.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you this: Do you write any of your music and any of your screenplays for movies?
Yeah, I am starting to do that. I mean, we have a writer's strike out here right now, but hopefully it will end soon. I don't know. It could go on for a while. But, yeah, I have been co-writing screenplays. I'm in the process of writing a short and because I'm a journalist, but I've been taking that into I've had other people write solo shows for me, but now I'm trying to collaborate or just go it alone and do my own thing with it. So
now,
I've written and I've rewritten and I do write song lyrics.
Yeah.
I'm not a songwriter. Like I don't write the, melody part of it, but I have written lyrics.
Yeah.
And work on parodies as well.
Oh, very funny. Well, for your comedy act, yeah. And your parodies, what are your parody topics?
Well, Lily was that one. I've got another salute that I've written, and then I, have taken what Shelley Goldstein wrote for me, because she wrote one of my shows. She wrote my duet with Mick, and I reimagined it, so I kind of collaborated on it.
Mm-hmm.
I rewrote a lot of it, and now I'm just writing stuff on my own. Parodies are all different kinds of things.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know if you had a particular topic that you focused on that you did parodies of.
Well, that's one I'd like to do. There's so many I'd like to do, you know.
I do Trump parodies.
Oh, that's right. Like, I'm sure you know Randy Rainbow, right?
Yo, he's great, isn't he?
Yeah,
oh,
he's so
goodness.
Funny.
Oh, I love him. Yeah, well,
we honored him. I'm on the board of Palm Springs International Comedy Festival, and we honored him during I believe it was 2020 or 2021. I think it was right during the pandemic. We did the whole thing on Zoom, and he accepted the award. And then we have the Stanley Kramer Mad World Award for Best Comedy Ensemble. So we're getting ready to do that again, actually. There's a lot of awards out there, too. We have Stanley Kramer Award, one at the Producers Guild, one at AFSCA, the one in Palm Springs. There was a couple other ones at different festivals, but we phased those out a bit.
Right.
During the pandemic, a lot of things changed.
Right. Well, yeah.
But at Shiro's for Change, it's just going to be, Shiro Power, there won't be any men honored. Not to exclude, but it's just, I got to stick with the theme.
Right.
And be focused on that.
And that's Shiro's, guys, Sheroes for Change.
Yes, with the she being caps, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, is that a website for that as well, or no?
There will be. It's going to be on my website. So as soon as everything's lined up and announced, that will be on there.
Right. By any chance, do you take submissions for any ideas for documentaries?
Well, I will,
documentaries.
I mean, now I have all the movies I want to show for the first launch of it, but in the future I will.
Yeah. And do you also have your own studio, or no, you have to go out?
We have a production company, and then I'm starting New Voices for Change, which is also like screenwriting lab.
Nice.
Where there'll be staged readings of social issue scripts. They can be plays as well, but for the most part, it's screenplays. And that's something that it was announced, but I haven't, I'm waiting probably after I launch Shiro's. It'll be right after that.
And your dad also had like a screenplay type of company as well when he first started out, if I remember correctly.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as an independent producer, right.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. My goodness. Well, like you said, you've got some big shoes to fill, but you don't need a shoehorn. They're not tight. you're pretty close to fit into those shoes, because, in my opinion, because I think everything you're doing for women, empowering women, just being behind them, bullying, helping the kids who are being bullied, animal rights.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. Catherine, where do you find time?
I don't know. I've got to find a time to go to the Kate and perform, and still do the festival and everything else.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'm always looking, because running a festival will be a first for me. But I will be open to having, obviously, a team and other people helping me run it.
Of course. Yeah.
Nonprofit.
Do it all.
Yeah, exactly.
You're currently filming this weekend, right?
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't know. Something funny happened. I don't know. I think we got disconnected.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I'm right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know. We're breaking up a bit.
Oh, no. I hear you perfectly. Oh, goodness.
That's so strange. Anyway, the phone is breaking up. I can hear you, but it's very distorted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Oh, definitely we're having a distorted line. It must be Auntie Kate's ghost wanting to get in on the action. Spell it with an A.
Well, before we go, tell us the anthology series.
Pardon?
Tell us about the civil disobedience.
I can't speak too much about it because it's still in the works. They've already, Linda Palmer
right.
is the writer-director of Turnover, which I play Fran. It's on Amazon Prime. You can see it. I was honored to win Best Supporting Actress from LIFF, and I've also, I am a co-producer on it. So it's her series that she's developed, and I'm also a co-producer, and I'm also in one of the episodes. But it's still
that's
in the process
nice.
Of being filmed, but it's very important and
yeah.
very timely.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know when it's ready to be released.
Yes.
Yeah, she's been on the festival circuit with a couple of the episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I'm in Wings of the Unpromised, which is, I should get this in before we wrap. That's Michelle Arthur. She's an actress, producer, director, writer. And again, I advocate for women in front of and behind the camera, just like Linda Palmer. And with Linda, it was a primarily female crew, behind the scenes. And with Michelle, she's advocating also for female empowerment. And Rings of the Unpromised is pretty much about that. And it's not a social justice film, but it is about women standing up for their rights and making decisions. And I play the owner of a jewelry store, and I own my own store, and I in the story I inherited it from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And my character's name is Violet Grace, so it's
mm-hmm.
kind of an homage to Violet Newstead that Lily Tomlin played in 9 to 5, and
uh-huh.
Grace Hansen that Jane Fonda plays in Grace and Frankie, because she's a business owner and she's empowered and she's makes her own decisions and calls her own shots.
Yeah.
So it's a fun movie, and it's on the festival circuit right now too, but it will mm-hmm. also be released. I don't know. I can't say when, because it's on the festival circuit.
Right. Right.
But yeah, Michelle
well,
creates her own content. So
yeah. Well,
I definitely advocate for that.
Yeah, they both sound like great, great projects. Civil Disobedience will be out soon.
Oh, it
hopefully.
Is great.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and Rings of the Unpromised. And also, you've got a YouTube channel out there, YouTube series, The Hollywood Media Professionals, a weekly YouTube series. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was my Dear Lily Tomlin musical parody salute launched the channel. And it's gotten
wow,
very popular.
Cool
Lily was our first star of the month. And every
yeah,
month it's a
very
different
nice.
Different iconic star of television, radio, music, broadcasting that have been honored by the Hollywood Media Professionals at the Pioneer Lunch. And so that was from the actual luncheon where I performed for her. And, Johnny Mathis and the late Ed Asner, and I mean, there's so many different segments of performers that
great.
Were honored that are on the channel. The late Carl Reiner, and this was all
wow.
on there like right before Carl passed away. His segment
wow.
was on, like, so all during the pandemic, this kind of kept people really engaged because they couldn't
yeah.
do anything else, they couldn't go anywhere,
right.
and it's old fashioned, old school entertainment.
Right,
but I
right.
really am very honored. I also opened the show at the luncheon, and then they put me on as the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that could be seen
it's
every
still
week
on.
Now.
I mean, anyone can see it. Pardon?
Oh, it's It's not live now. You don't. It's not on a live broadcast.
Oh, it
broadcast
is. You can
every,
find
oh,
it.
It
HMP Celebrity Showcase on YouTube, and it should.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a playlist, and I'm the very first episode, so you have to scroll to find it on the whole channel. The very first episode, the very first star was Lily. So I opened the whole thing and launched the channel.
Nice, nice. I definitely have to scroll back to that. Yeah, I'll have to scroll back to that one for sure.
There's so many great entertainers that are on. And, of course, you know, the great Bruce Valanche and,
mm-hmm.
and sadly, the late Leslie Jordan. They were all, you know, mm-hmm. I sat next to Leslie on the dais.
Mm-hmm.
And the late Sally Kellerman, of all people. And Joanne Worley is on there, George Slaughter. But we've lost
mm-hmm.
a few of the people that were on there. And Allie Willis, the late Allie Willis, she was a good friend of Lily's.
Yeah.
So that's a really, and all, they didn't show everybody. They only picked certain speeches because of time. It's like for a month. So it was a different person every week, and then it moved on to the next honoree.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I did want to ask you this earlier, and I forgot. I don't write questions down. It's just you and I talking. So have you ever had the opportunity to work with Catherine or with your father or your mother in any in the industry capacity on film in any
yeah,
way?
Yeah, my mom is my producing partner, so we work on projects, and she was in the Fallout documentary. She was interviewed in that with Dr. Helen Caldicott, the one that Lily and I presented for the 5th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and I have presented a lot of things as a duo, but we actually did work together in Fate Shadow. That was another film that Michelle Arthur made. We play mother and daughter, and it was a short film. So yes, we have acted together. But it wasn't a feature, it was a short, but it's an award-winning short. It's won a lot
mm-hmm.
of awards and is still
mm-hmm.
very popular. I did do a film for my dad, The Runner Stumbles, which was his last movie, and I had the role of Sophie in that. And as far as Catherine, I just got to know her, and, you know, I brought her, I have to say I take not full responsibility, but a lot of the credit for her doing which was her last screen appearance on the big screen, Love Affair, with Warren Beatty and Annette Bening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Warren really wanted her for the film, and she was, you know, balking at that, playing hard to get, didn't want to do it. And so I kept calling her and saying, you have to give him a chance. And I went on the set and visited him while they were filming it because he knew she was my godmother.
Yeah,
and that I would have some kind of an insight into her. So I did, mm-hmm. and I basically, a few other people took the credit, but I was on Larry King when he had his CNN show,
yeah.
and I talked
mm-hmm.
about this on that. The day after she passed away, they brought me on, and I was the only one live in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was satellite in.
Yeah, well, you were living in Gramercy at the time, so you were able to do that.
Yeah. No, actually, I was out here. I was out here.
Oh, really?
I was out here.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here I'm thinking yeah. Larry did everything in New York. My mistake.
No, he did some of the time, but this one was done here. And so that is it. But I did used to hang out with her, and I have a lot of stories. And
I can
some of
only
them
imagine.
Just, you know,
I can only
included
imagine.
In the Call Me Kate documentary.
Yeah. And how about books? Have you ever had an opportunity to sit down? Where would you find the time to write a book? But have you ever had the opportunity
to
sit down?
Yeah, I'm trying to write my memoir, but I also want to write a novel. So I am trying to do that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, when,
I've been
when
working
either
a
one,
bit on it.
Yeah. When either one comes out, please let me know. I'd love to have you back.
Oh, for sure. I will definitely do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm dying. You got to send me at least one of your tracks from Gemstone, from the album, if you could.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear
you're
that.
On. I will definitely do it.
I would love that. I
okay.
I really
thank
would
you
enjoy
so
it.
Much.
I would enjoy it. I would really enjoy it. Well, Catherine, thank you. I hope you don't mind. I almost called you Kate a few times, but you said it was
that's
only for
fine.
Friends.
I've been Katie, Kathy, Kate, and,
you
know, my godmother always
said,
Well, she calls herself Kat to close friends and family, so that's why I adapted the name of Kat.
Yeah.
Because, as she said, you will always be telling them spell it with an A, and they never get it right.
And it's true, because my email was with the E, and I think it was a typo, not typo, autocorrect, but, you know, you told me the story. I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll get it right next time. Don't worry.
Sure. For sure.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Catherine, it has been an absolute pleasure and honor to speak with you. Thank you so much for gracing me with your presence on the Pulse Radio Show. Again, you are not only a celebrity royalty yourself, but your family is, I keep saying celebrity, Hollywood royalty, and your family is Hollywood royalty, and, you know, we don't have that anymore. And, you know, all the greats are leaving us or are gone now.
Yeah, it's true.
Actors, actresses, and even directors. I mean, like your father. I mean, they don't exist anymore. They just don't.
No, that's true.
And it's very sad, but I guess that comes with growing up and aging. We start to lose those that were here before us, and, you know, we've lost so many.
It's true. We've lost ones that my father worked with.
Yeah, they're all gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. Yeah, I don't know. It's just crazy to me. I said,
it's,
you know,
true.
I always think of that movie line. Well, lately I've thought of it in The Green Mile, when Tom Hanks' character lives at the end, and he says, the woman says, oh, you must be the luckiest person in the world to live forever. He goes, no, because everybody I've ever loved or known is gone, you know. And it's like, like right now at our stage, when we were younger, these folks were already in their 20s, 30s, maybe even 40s that we idolized and watched and on TV or in the movies or even in music. And, you know, now that we're older, they're either 90 or higher, and there's not many of them left. So, and like you said, they're going very quickly. It's hard to watch. It's hard to be a part of, you know. That's all, in my opinion, anyway.
Oh, yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, Catherine, I thank you again. What a treasure that you are, and please come back again and anytime.
I would
love
to
have
you
back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, no, thank you. Please, thank you, and please, let's keep in touch. We have our email, and I'm expecting an email with one of your songs. I would love to hear it.
Yes, you'll get it.
Wonderful.
Maybe two.
Well, everybody, Catherine Kramer. Go check her out at her website, www.catherinekramer.com. That's Catherine with an A, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-N-E, Kramer.com. And then you've also got Kat Kramer's films, that changedtheworld.com. And looking forward to more fantastic stuff coming out of that, out of your films that changed the world. They're needed right now, for sure. We need more films to change the world right now.
Oh,
yes.
And we
need
Heroes for Change,
Yes, definitely Heroes for Change as well. Absolutely, I agree with you. And I love what you do. Not many people are givers, and you are truly a giver and just an amazing human being. And I'm honored to have you on the show and privileged to have gotten to get to know you today. Thank you so much.
You too. You as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful evening. Thank you, everybody.
You
Catherine
too.
Kramer.
Thank you.
Take care, Catherine.
Thank you so
much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, geez. I'm telling you, you have no idea. No idea. I mean, she is just amazing. I mean, if you could see what I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at her bio. Go to her website, CatherineKramer.com. And you will not believe everything she's been involved in, be it in acting, in movies, live productions, singing, performing live as a singer as well, and comedy now as well, producing movies, directing movies, and all for the benefit of good. And we don't get that anymore, so... Catherine, we need you. We need you. We needed your father back in the 50s, 60s. We need you now. You are for the time now. You are the time is now for you. especially with Teach Your Children with the sequel. That is definitely needed with the bullying with the LGBTQ plus community. And Shiro's her love of being involved in women's rights and just making sure they're being treated well. Shiro's for Change, that's coming up soon, a festival. So again, go to her website, KatherineKramer.com or Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World.com. And don't forget that YouTube channel if you want to check that out, if you're interested in hearing some celebrities hang out talking about their careers at YouTube. On a YouTube channel, The Hollywood Media Professionals. It was a weekly YouTube series. It's still available, of course. YouTube, whatever's up there, whatever's online doesn't go away, folks. And each month they honored a different celebrity. And the first show was Catherine and her movie or a film? Dear Lily Tomlin. I can't recall what she said. I'm so sorry. But yeah, so go check that out too. So again, what an honor to have her on. Definitely Hollywood royalty, her parents and her as well. Catherine Kramer. Thank you again, Catherine Kramer. And this month we are a little crazy, but I'm excited. What do we got? Tomorrow night, we've got on Julie Rogers Palomeri. She is the granddaughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. She's got a new book out, and we're going to talk to her. And I had it somewhere here. It's Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, Your Heroes, My Grandparents. And that's true to many of us growing up. Are we watching Roy Rogers and Dale Evans? They were our heroes, but that was her grandparents. So to her, they were heroes anyway, but not the way we looked at them. So we're definitely going to look at that tomorrow night at 9 p.m., May 10th, with Julia Rogers Palomeri. And then on the 15th, we've got Jim Meskimen. He's been on the show before. He's a comedian, actor, and a voice impressionist, and also the son of the great Marion Ross from Happy Days. They've got a really cute channel. I don't know if you call it a channel. I guess so. A channel on TikTok, Marion and Jim, mother and son. They are so adorable on it and funny, and you should check it out. If you're on TikTok, check them out. And Tanya Douglas will be on the 18th. She has a book out, and she, I think, was the first female roadie. So that's going to be really interesting. We're going to talk to her about her experiences. The 17th, we had a guest that I don't even want to say who it was because I have to – they're already so booked. And I'll just say they're usually extremely booked in October for Halloween. And I figured, let me try now to see if I can get her on the show, because every Halloween I try and I'm always too late. So I am going to request her probably tomorrow. I'm going to get online tomorrow night, maybe the night after. No, not tonight. I'm exhausted. I'm not going to lie. And I'm going to reach out and hopefully we can get her on, if not for October or Halloween, anytime. But I'm not going to say the name right now. I'll leave it at that. And I'm really, really excited about our guest on the 21st, Mr. Bo Donaldson from Bo Donaldson Bo Donaldson and the Haleys, right? I can't think of the name of the damn thing. Oh, my God. Bo Donaldson, Billy Don't Be a Hero, and Bo Donaldson and the Haleys. Not the Haleys. I got it. I just not on the tip of my tongue. I'm so sorry. And the 24th is open right now. I have a guest here that I'm going to hear back from. I'm not going to say that name either, but very huge singer. So I'm hoping we could get her on. She's touring right now, so I'm hoping we get her. And I will be away for a few days. We're going to be off the air for a few days, the end of the month, to celebrate Memorial Day and some other things. And then on the 30th, you guys have been asking to have Michelle back, our new psychic to the show, Michelle Palmieri, will be back on the 30th at 8 p.m. So we're going to have a good time that night. But anyway, our calendar should be updated this week for next, for the following, for the rest of the month, actually, before you know it. So right now, that's where we are. So we will be filling that in. So again, I'm so sorry. I'm really tired today. I wasn't expecting to have the day I had today. I was looking so forward to having Catherine on. I still am. I was and am. It's just, I was just so running ragged. I was last minute running around. So, but I never would have expected that to happen to me today at of all days. It's just not the day of the month for me. That would be crazy. And it was. So I'm really wiped. So I cannot wait to get everything done. It's 10 o'clock in my time. So I don't know where you are. If you don't join us tomorrow night and I don't speak to you, have a happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there and all your dads that also play two roles. So we appreciate you. We love you guys. And kiss your moms. Hug them. I miss mine very much. So anyway, a happy Mother's Day to all of you who don't tune in tomorrow to get another happy Mother's Day wish. So thank you again, Catherine Kramer. Thank you. What a thrill to have you on. A pleasure. I can't wait to hear one of your renditions of Mick Jagger songs. And the album is called Gemstone, guys. Check it out. And again, go to katherinekramer.com and you can find out all you need to know that we didn't cover tonight. There is so much more that we could have talked about because she has such a lengthy resume. My goodness, she has done everything and anything, and she's still doing it. I don't see her stopping anytime soon. So without anything else, I don't have anything else other than I'm going to head on out the door, and I hope you guys all have a good night. Come join us. Come on back tomorrow as we welcome again Julie Rogers Palmieri, the granddaughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and she's got her new book out. Roy Rogers, Dale Evans, your heroes, my grandparents, the story from a granddaughter. I can't even, I'm losing my mind right now. I'm going on fumes right now. So anyway, have a good night. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to hang out with me, and that is so cool, and I thank you so much. Just amazing. You guys are great. So have a good night. Thank you again to Catherine Kramer. Go to katherinekramer.com. Check it out. And look for her upcoming Sheroes Festival. And celebrate women every day, not just for Mother's Day. And, you know, behind every strong man is a woman, as they say. And women are people too, right? Take care, everybody. Be kind, all right? Take care. Catherine Kramer, thank you so much. Come on back now, you hear?